Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. How are you? Hope all is well. Welcome to your daily news roundup. We'll take you through some of the main stories of the day, which tonight include those surveys asking what you think about the island's roads and transport links. Have you received one? We'll be finding out more about them in just a moment. Also tonight, we know that more than £3 million has been overpaid to government employees over the past 5 years. We'll have the details on that. We'll also hear from the project manager of the replica Spanish war vessel that's in Douglas Harbour at the moment. There are some changes to the visiting hours there. We'll bring you all the details on that. And something lovely happening at Douglas Library tomorrow. Plus, we'll look at the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be more than welcome. Studio at manxradio.com is the email or text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Rob Fastamai.
A group opposing plans for an onshore wind farm on the Isle of Man have been demonstrating outside the government's latest roadshow event. The Carevi resistance group wants the project proposed for the Eerie Stain and Scarred site to be halted. The Chief Minister acknowledged the upset caused by the plans but stressed the need for a more secure, low-carbon future. The final government roadshow takes place at QE2 High School and gets underway in the next half hour at 5:30pm. Meanwhile, the previous roadshow event last night drew its biggest crowd yet in the south. 97 people packed into Castle Rushen High School to quiz ministers on key issues. Topics included 20-mile-an-hour zones, housing, renewable energy and the future of the local school. More than £3 million has been overpaid to government employees through their salary over the past 5 years. The figures published in response to a Freedom of Information request date from April 2020 to March this year. There have been a total of 2,422 overpayments in that time. The latest financial year, 24-25, saw the fewest. Revised hours have been arranged for the public to go on board the replica of the Spanish galleon Andalusia tall ship. Low tides have meant that safe access has been restricted to the vessel, which is currently moored in Douglas, until Monday. The ship is open between 4:30pm and 8pm tonight. However, because of the high demand and the number of rescheduled slots, organisers are advising people not to buy new tickets. In international news, Prince William says he's deeply saddened by the death of Portugal and Liverpool footballer Diogo Jota and his brother, who've died in a car crash in Spain. Tennis players at Wimbledon, who have to play in all white, have been told they can wear a black armband if they wish. Authorities in Gaza say airstrikes and shootings have killed 94 Palestinians, including 45 people waiting for aid. The Israeli military has previously blamed Hamas for civilian deaths, claiming they operate in populated areas. And Rachel Reeves says she is totally up for the job of UK Chancellor after she was seen in tears during the Prime Minister's questions yesterday. Sir Keir Starmer has admitted he was the last to appreciate that she was crying on the front bench because PMQs is pretty wild. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Generally cloudy. Some brightness, though, may break through at times. Occasional showery outbreaks of rain at first this evening. It will become dry later on. Moderate to fresh southwest winds. Minimum temperatures today around 12. Now tomorrow, there'll be a dry and bright start, but it will turn cloudy through the morning and an area of rain or drizzle will arrive from the northwest in the afternoon. It's going to be quite windy as well. A fresh to strong southwest wind. Best temperatures tomorrow 17. And then the weekend, largely cloudy on Saturday. The risk of some patchy light rain or drizzle developing at times. Moderate to fresh southwest or west winds and top temperatures 18 Celsius. Sunset this evening 9:53. Sunrise tomorrow morning 4:52.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man in a van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5:05. Now, surveys have been sent to 3,000 households at random on the island to find out what you think about roads, transport links, cycle routes and footpaths. Now, this is separate from the ongoing 20 miles an hour consultation, and the surveys have been sent out by the National Highways and Transport Network on behalf of the Department of Infrastructure. These people told us where they would like to see some improvements.
The major roads are fine and they're well looked after, particularly the TT course, but the minute you leave the major roads, then you do have problems with potholes and poor conditions. You know, I understand they've got to manage their budget, but the focus at the moment is clearly on the major routes. So don't forget the minor routes, because they're important for people who live in those more isolated spaces. The other major issue is obviously the 20 mile an hour speed limit, which I think is generally a good idea. I'm in favour of it. I think there could be more cycle lanes. If there is an opportunity to look at extending the cycle lanes, I'd be in favour of that, definitely.
There are some roads being maintained that didn't feel like they'd been needed to be maintained, and there are plenty that actually need maintaining that aren't just being looked at, and one of the ones that springs to mind is Woodburn Road. It is atrocious. It won't need a 20 mile an hour speed limit on there. 15 to 20 sometimes all you can get, the number of potholes. It's quite clearly collapsing, and probably some of that's due to its historical use as a tramway, but generally I would say that the pavements and roads on the Isle of Man, whilst they're better than some places in the UK, I think for an island this size they're quite atrocious.
Personally, and I think I can speak for the majority of the people on the island who drive, the amount of potholes in the roads where speed bumps should be in zones such as coming down Farm Hill, Stevenson's Way, it's awkward getting out of there every day. I'm just surprised there hasn't been an accident. Where and where the speed bumps are, I think a lot of them are all in the wrong places. At zebra crossings, also around estates, they're in silly places.
Okay, so that's what some people told us about what they think about the island's roads, transport links, cycle routes and footpaths. You've got until the 11th of July to return the paper copy of this survey if you've got one. Anyone wanting to fill it in online can do so, but you will need that passcode and the QR code which is on the paper copy to access that. 7.5 minutes past five. Well, we know that the final roadshow, the Listening to You roadshow from government, is going to get underway in Peel in just under 20 minutes or so. The Isle of Man government third Listen to You roadshow, though, last night drew its biggest audience so far. That was in Castle Rushen High School in the south. There were 97 attendees, wide-ranging questions covering everything from housing and education to renewable energy and, of course, that ongoing debate over those 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. There was, though, substantial interest focused on the long-awaited redevelopment of Castle Rushen High School, as you might expect. The Education Minister, Daphne Kane, confirmed the project was beginning to see some movement.
Two architects have visited the school today to get the lie of the land and have a look at the current facilities, and I'm told three others from presumably other companies are visiting later this week.
There could be spades in the ground as early as summer 2026.
The DOI minister said that. What I was hoping is that we will see, and that I will bring, or the Treasury Minister will bring, a bid for the capital project for the funding of a full build secondary school to replace Castle Rushen High School by the summer next year. So before this administration and current elected House of Keys dissolves, ready ahead of the general election in September. I don't think there's any dispute that the building should be replaced. What the school looks like, we've obviously had an indicative plan of the location of a school build and sports facilities and potentially a pool, and even in the future, although this isn't planned at the moment, for a primary school area as well, should that be required.
That's the Education Minister, Daphne Kane. Well, last night, representatives from the Carevi Resistance Group were also there displaying banners outside the school. Their spokesperson is Kiri Jenkins.
We've known right from the beginning that this is a very vulnerable site. It's not suitable. It's the wrong project in the wrong location. That's why we've been fighting it from the beginning. Already, it's overrun project-wise. They were supposed to have the planning in earlier this year, in fact in January, so we're already 6 months behind schedule. And you will have heard the Chief Minister on your show on perspective on Sunday, that he said that he doubts that it will be done by 2026, which for us is a travesty for the public up there, because we have lived for 2 years with this hanging over our heads, and the longer it goes on, the more stress and anxiety that people have to put up with in that area.
Some people listening might say, well, are you anti-wind turbine? Are you anti-renewable? Or is it just the location?
The wrong location, the wrong project. The more that we've done a deep dive into wind turbines and the more we've learnt from the professionals that we've engaged, we've realised that this project is just so wrong for the Isle of Man in this location.
That is Kiri Jenkins from the Care Vi Resistance Group talking to Christian there. Well, Christian will be at the final meeting in Peel tonight, so we'll bring you all the very latest on what happened in breakfast tomorrow. 5:10, and a Douglas man has narrowly avoided being sent to prison after crashing his car while drunk. Dr. Fanwell Mumvara of Manor Road was more than three times the legal limit when he got behind the wheel on the 25th of April, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
The court heard the 55-year-old had a previous conviction from November 2021 for an identical offence. His advocate told the court her client was a man of unwavering integrity who'd been incredibly foolish to get behind the wheel, adding that he was extremely remorseful. But Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood told Mamvora expressions of regret do ring a little hollow when taking into account the fact that it is a repeat offence and that he gave an extremely high reading. She imposed a 12-week custodial sentence, which has been suspended for 2 years, and Mamvora has also been banned from the road for 5 years. At the end of that period, he'll have to take and pass an extended driving test. He also has to attend a drink drive rehabilitation course, pay a £650 fine for driving with no insurance, and pay £125 in prosecution costs. Following Mamvora's prosecution in 2021, the consultant in acute medicine was given a formal warning by the General Medical Council for drink driving. He has since been nominated for the Exceed Business Services Award for Inspiring Leadership at the inaugural Care Awards hosted by Manx Care in February 2023. The court heard this week he is currently signed off from work due to stress.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting. 5:12 now, and delegates at the 2025 Small Countries Financial Management Programme for senior government financial leaders from some of the world's poorest and most remote nations are on day 5 of the 7-day gathering here on the Isle of Man. Now, 19 countries are represented, and Simon Richardson caught up with some of them at the nunnery earlier this afternoon.
Yes, this is my first experience, and it's been an amazing experience for the first week, and looking forward to the next week in Oxford.
How beneficial is it to get together with like-minded people from similar countries and jurisdictions to discuss what are, I suppose, similar problems?
Yep, so we share similar problems, and chances are some small jurisdictions may have figured out solutions that we don't need to do anything more than expand on, apply to our context. And I think this program helps to build more leaders who are transitioning the benefits of countries like Isle of Man, who would be already leaders in certain spaces, that we could apply it to our own jurisdictions and impact our own people. So I think this is very significant in terms of a program, in terms of building relationships and demonstrating the impact of a country like Isle of Man.
Anastasia from Montenegro, I guess you're one of few European nations represented here. How useful is it for a country like yours, which I suppose in European terms is very much up and coming?
So it's amazing experience for me. I had some programs where I were, let's say, where I was participant, but this one is really unique because I had opportunity to meet people from different parts of the world, and that is most important for me. When we talk about Europe, I think that each of our country really need the opportunity to meet all these people. Because I think we are really not aware what their problems are, what their challenges are. So I think for me and for people where I work, I will for sure tell them that there is completely different part of world, and they are so similar to us that I think we really need to work together to meet each other, because we are really focused on European Union, and for us there is no place like that. When I came here, I realized that there is so much amazing places.
If I could turn to you now, Jermaine, Antigua and Barbuda, obviously very exotic from our point of view, lots of sunshine and nice things that we think about. But of course, running a country is a very different matter, and everyone has specific problems. How useful is something like this to you?
So this event is very, very useful to me. I've been a part of a lot of consultations and conferences, but to come here with a problem specific to my country that I can bounce against persons who are in the same situation, and as well persons who are in bigger countries, and to receive information not just on solving the problem, but soft skills that I will take into my future and I will take back to complete my problem and to solve my problem, it's an amazing opportunity. And within 3 days, I received information that I know would be life-changing for me and for my country.
That is Simon Richardson, who is talking to some of the delegates at the Small Countries Financial Management Programme for Senior Government Financial Leaders, which has been taking place at the Nunnery this afternoon. It's just gone 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So not aware of anything on the police pages, which is always good news, as we say, but some of the main things to look out for, again, bottom of Victoria Street in Douglas, that's closed between Broadway and Stanley Place. Colby, you've got those temporary lights in the Colby level. Peel, temporary lights on Glenfaber Road. And in Sulby, there are temporary lights on Sulby Bridge. That's for work on the manholes. Looking down at the airport, everything looks pretty much to time, so all good there. And the latest then from the steam packet, the Manxman is on her way back to Douglas, due here around about 6, heading out again for Heysham at 7:45. And the Mananan left Douglas at just before 3 p.m, getting to Liverpool at 5:40.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
This is Update on Manx Radio, 5:16, and more than £3 million has been overpaid to government employees through their salary over the past 5 years, as Lewis Foster reports.
The figures published in response to a Freedom of Information request date from April 2020 to March 2025. They include overpayments for all departments, including Manx Care, but excluding all other statutory boards and offices. In that time, there have been a total of 2,422 overpayments. Comparing year on year, the most overpayments were made between April 2022 and March 2023, 571 to be exact, to the tune of £850,959.62. The latest financial year, 24/25, saw the fewest overpayments in a single year at 320. The Freedom of Information request also asked for clarity on what government's policy is in this area. It's as follows. Where a person receives or retains an overpayment, even by government's own mistake, that person is under obligation to make restoration of the full amount. All employees should always check their payslip. Any employee who suspects that he or she has received an overpayment should contact payroll in the first instance with a view to repay the amount overpaid immediately. The Cabinet Office, in its response, says the reason for overpayment is held. However, there are a number of reasons why they can occur. These include late notification of leaving, late notification of contractual changes, incorrect information provided to payroll, and the reclamation of training expenses.
Lewis Foster reporting. Now, a range of books is being made available at Douglas City Library to help people with dementia continue to enjoy reading. The Alzheimer's Society has been working with the library to organise this event tomorrow to help people at all stages of the condition. Claire Cubberley is from the Isle of Man's branch of the charity and says reading can be more challenging when someone's information retention is impacted.
We know just by engaging with people with dementia, the type of book that will hold their attention, that will be of interest to them. So the Dorling Kingsley do a lot of really lovely books that have got great pictures in them and a small piece of text of facts, and those books are usually really good for people with dementia. Using the This Is Me document that we have, whereby we take a person's history, their interests, their life history, and find out about them, means that we can also then engage them in relevant activities when their dementia progresses. And so they may have a book on birds, it may be a book on vegetables, plants, vehicles, articles. And so these books are usually a picture with a small snippet of facts, and then it moves on quickly. So that keeps their interest and it keeps their concentration going, whereby their attention might not be as good as it used to be, and it means it keeps their interest in the activity.
So this is all happening tomorrow in the Douglas City Library. And are you wanting people who are carers to come along with their loved ones, or how is it going to work tomorrow?
Yes, no. I mean, if they can come along, if they're able to get out of the house and can join us, then yeah, it would be great for the carer to explore with the person with dementia what might work for them and what would be beneficial for them at home. If they can't, then the carer can come along. They know them better than anybody else, so they'll know their interests, and we can help and demonstrate to them how to use the book and how to engage the person with dementia in the process of reading.
And if they can't make it tomorrow, then I assume they could pop in another time and just speak to the staff of the library?
Yes, but you could always contact us as well, and we can come and visit you at home and offer you our dementia advisor service, whereby we can do a one-to-one session with you at home and help and support you in that way as well.
Oh, that's Claire Cubberley from the Alzheimer's Society here on the island. Some lovely support available there. That event at the library tomorrow on between 11 and 4. 20 past five, revised hours have been arranged for the public to go on board the replica of the Spanish galleon Andalusia tall ship. Now, low tides have meant that safe access has been restricted to the vessel, which is currently moored in Douglas until Monday. The ship will now be open from 4:30. It opened at 4:30. It'll be open until 8 p.m. tonight. But because of the high demand and the number of rescheduled slots, organisers are advising people not to buy new tickets. Well, earlier, John Moss popped down to take a closer look and spoke to project manager Lupo Batka.
Well, it was built in 2009. It began construction 2009, finished 2010, and it's been sailing around ever since.
Is it a sail training ship?
Yes, it is. We're a school ship, so what we do is we have cadets on board and volunteers. What they'll be doing is doing their days at sea to later on get their certification to be officers of the watch, captains and chief engineers, etc.
How does she sail? She must bounce around.
Yes, she does. She moves around an awful lot, it does. And having so much freeboard, which is surface of the ship out of the water, the higher up you are, the more it moves around. So when we have to clamber around up on the rigging, that's where one really feels it.
She's got an engine. How does she motor?
Fairly well. It's got two diesel engines, which we always use to move in and out of port just for safety. And also being a training ship, we want to always stay on the safe side. But having said that, whenever we have favourable winds, we'll set the sails out and kill the engines. So.
We're on the outer pier at the moment. You were under the impression you were going on the battery pier, which is over by the oil tanks and things like that. That would have served your purpose better?
Maybe, but we would have been in a fairly similar situation. The battery pier is a bit lower, but the tide here is so strong in Douglas that unfortunately we ended up just sort of sticking to our first option and trying to work around with what we've got.
That is project manager of the Spanish galleon Andalusia tour ship, Lupo Batka there. Now, those taking part in the 2025 Island Games have different goals and objectives, but for the Isle of Man's football side, the message is clear. They will settle for nothing less than a gold medal. Caretaker player manager Chris Bass Jr. is excited about the squad he's taking to Orkney this month and firmly believes they have the tools to take the top prize.
I can't complain at all. The players have taken to it really well. Myself, Rick and Matty Woods, as the coaches, taken to us. Done exactly as we've asked. They've worked really, really hard. The commitment's been superb. There's nothing else that we could have asked from them. It's been really, really good. And I'm really excited because we've got a really strong squad.
Some big changes in the team as well this time around. Could you just explain some of the thinking behind some of these big changes?
From being at the last Island Games, I was there just as a player. I just felt that we didn't have the players that were going to hurt teams. I've looked at the selection we've got this time around is more like pace, attacking players and having outlets. You need to be able to hurt teams and have people that can put the ball in the back of the net, and I just felt that we lacked in them areas a little bit last time. So we've looked at that, and also Island Games experienced players. We've brought players into the squad that have been to a number of Island Games before, some gold medal winners, so they know what it takes, and they know that we're there for one goal only, and that's to win the gold medal. This isn't just a tournament where you're going to go and enjoy yourself. This is serious stuff, and this is we go there, and we go there to win a gold medal. That's always been my attitude with anything I've done in football. It's always to win first. You obviously need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy what you're doing because that helps, but when you're playing for the Isle of Man and when you're going to a tournament like this, it's to win. It's nothing else. So we've put that across the players, and I know with the players in our squad and the experience we've got, that's their goal as well. So to have that and then to have the young lads with the exciting talent that we've got in the squad and being able to pass that knowledge on and how you go about doing the Island Games and getting your rest and recovery in between the games, it's very, very important. And but I know that within our squad we've got that. Because it comes around every 2 years, there's never a time where you can say it will happen again in the future. So if you can get the opportunity to experience it, definitely experience it.
That is Chris Bass Jr. The Island Games scheduled to take place from the 12th to the 18th of July, and you can hear more with that interview in our extended sportscast at manxradio.com. Now with some more sports news, here's Rob Pritchard.
Well, first tonight, Liverpool Football Club supporters based on the island are paying tribute following the sudden death of Liverpool player Diogo Jota. The 28-year-old Portuguese player and his brother, 26-year-old André Silva, who was also a professional footballer, have died following a car crash in Spain at around 11:30pm UK time last night. In a short statement, the official Isle of Man Liverpool Supporters Club says, "Words cannot express the shock and pain of losing our number 20. Our hearts and condolences go out to Diogo and André's family. God bless them. You'll never walk alone." Liverpool FC itself says it is devastated by the news and is asking people to respect the privacy of Diogo and André's family and friends at this time. Well, elsewhere, tributes have been pouring in from across the world, including Diogo Jota's Portugal teammates Cristiano Ronaldo and his former manager Jurgen Klopp. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man's national basketball teams will take part in an inter-island series later this month. From the 21st to the 25th of July, the Manx men's and women's squads will be part of the 2025 Inter-Island Games basketball event being hosted by Innis Mon. Over the course of the 5 days, the men's side will take on the host nation, along with the Faroe Islands, Guernsey, Falkland Islands and Jersey. Meanwhile, the women's squad will take on the Faroe Islands twice, as well as facing Innis Mon and a North Wales side. All matches will be played at Holyhead Leisure Centre, and the event as a whole will give all island sides involved the chance to face one another in light of the fact that basketball has not been included as a sport in this year's Island Games in Orkney. And finally, after a positive performance at this year's British National Championships, Isle of Man pro cyclist Becky Story has been selected for this year's Giro d'Italia Women. The Island rider has been named in the 7-strong team picnic post-NL team for the Women's World Tour event, which gets underway this Sunday. Well, last weekend, Story finished in the top 20 in the British National Championships Women's Elite Road Race and played a key role in helping teammate Pfeiffer Georgie finish second and another teammate, Josie Nelson, finish fourth.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is all from Update this evening. As ever, for the latest on all tonight's top stories, you can head over to the Manx Radio website. There are also extended interviews there in the Manx Radio newscast and the sportscast as well. Coming up next on Manx Radio, an Island Life special. It's called Manx Radio and the Mother Tongue. So it's all about the Manx language. That coming up next at 5:30. Then Chris Kinley will be here from 6 with Greatest Hits. From 9, it's A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell. And then Rhiann will be here for you with After Hours from 10pm. Whatever you're doing this evening, do enjoy yourself. I'm hoping you're going to be able to catch some of that late evening sunshine without any of the showers, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.